This is Brian Reisman. Welcome to Side Jams, a proud member of the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'd like to thank Pantheon sponsors AKG for their support of this podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe or follow to keep up with future episodes. And we've got many more on the way, with Carla Harvey from Butcher Babies, Adrian Smith from Iron Maiden, and Diamante.
Hi, this is Lily Hayden, and you're listening to Side Jams with Brian Reisman.
After breaking through with Jane's Addiction in the late 1980s, Perry Farrell quickly became an alt-rock icon with that band and Porno for Pyros, and of course, being the co-founder of the pioneering music festival Lollapalooza 30 years ago. He recently released his solo box set, The Glitz, The Glamour, that collects his music before and after those two groups and spans many different musical projects and styles. There's the post-punk sounds of Psycom, which I'm particularly favorable towards, that have been hard to find since the group's 1985 EP release. The box also includes his 2001 solo effort, Song Yet to Be Sung, Satellite Party's 2007 release, Ultra Payloaded, 2019's Kind Heaven album, and various remixes and bonus tracks. The music spans everything from chamber pop to modern rock to Eastern-flavored drum and bass, and the colorful artwork looks great in the vinyl format. It's certainly a treat for fans of the pioneering rocker. When he has time away from music, Perry has a wide variety of interests. For episode 42 of Side Jams, we spoke about his passion for snowboarding, exploring religion and mysticism, his newfound love for gardening, and his recent fascination with artificial intelligence. It's an eclectic mix of topics for sure, and we dove into some interesting philosophical points about each one. He also gave me a quick a cappella preview of a mariachi version of the Jane's Addiction song Stop that he's been recording. This was my first time speaking with Perry, and it's easy to see that he enjoys whatever new adventure he embarks upon.
Is that a Grateful Dead-ish poster I see in the background?
That is Lollapalooza. Oh, no, that one. Yeah, that's Jimi Hendrix from, like, I don't know when, but this was a Stanley Mouse who did the artwork. Oh, Rick Griffin. Rick Griffin did all that psychedelic San Francisco work.
Yeah.
So he did many posters for the Dead as well, but that's Jimi Hendrix Experience, Bill Graham Presents, San Francisco.
Nice.
Yeah. Albert King opening up.
Well, thanks for taking the time to chat. I appreciate it.
Good to meet you, man.
You know, I'm going through this whole box set and it's like, you know, what's cool about it is I hear so many different things. I'm like, how did I miss the whole post-punk early goth Perry? And then you've got Eastern tinge drum and bass. We've got chamber pop and got the Star Crawlers, a throwback to your punk days. So it's like, what's great is that if somebody didn't really know you, they'd go through and be like, wow, who are these people? As opposed to this one guy, like, who's this guy singing with all these bands?
My wife says that she finds it so interesting how I can change my voice. Like, I have such a command of my voice that I can put it in anywhere. For years, I was doing female backup vocals for myself, you know, until
really
we got married. Yeah, like the early Jane stuff, there's like 5-part stacks of harmony.
Okay.
Including like female background singers, but I was doing those myself. And then now I have Etsy doing it. So I have a real female backing me. It sounds better.
That's cool. You know what you have to do, what you have to do. I remember what I was interviewing Aldo Nova many years ago about his first album, and he basically recorded almost all of it himself. And the way they mixed it made it sound like there were two guitar players at one point during the solo section. It's like, no, it's just one guitarist. Just split the audio.
Yeah, we're so lucky today that we've got overdub. We can overdub. I believe it was Les Paul, believe it or not,
yep,
who created the concept of, and you know, he played with his wife as well.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. So they began with, I think, 4 channels. And then they, you know, he figured it out. Like, hey, you know what? We can overdub this, you know. And then the rest is history. All the groups started to do it. And eventually you had Sgt. Pepper's and then you had Pink Floyd.
And you had 8 tracks.
Then you had 8 tracks. And now we're up to over 100 tracks at times. The last album I did, which was Kind Heaven with Tony Visconti, we had at times 150 tracks.
Wow. And it's interesting because Tony comes from a background where there were less tracks at the time and you really had to work with the elements you had. It's like, so that was been interesting for him also.
It was. Like, I almost thought he wanted to cop my my engineer. Seriously, because we're dealing with a lot of electronics. So the reason it's so many tracks, just for people that are, I don't want to say novices, but interested, but not professionals at mixing. So if you have a 70-piece orchestra,
yeah,
at Abbey Road, which we have had on Satellite Party, Harry Gregson-Williams led a 70-piece orchestra, I believe it was 70-piece, in Abbey Road. So you're starting with 70. Well, no. Not everybody gets a microphone. I'm not exactly sure how many mics.
They hang a lot. In classical, they hang a lot of microphones. He did all the Narnia soundtracks and things like that. So he's got the experience with a big sound, symphonic sound.
So you start with that, and then you've got a band, and then you've got the vocals, which, you know, we can stack. Sometimes I will stack no less than 5, 7, 10, you know, going to the chorus. And then you've got, you know, men and then women. So last night I recorded 4 vocal stacks. But anyway, so if you're counting 70-piece orchestra, choir, band, and then electronics could be like glitchy sounds, tweaky sounds, sub sounds. So that's why there's so many tracks going nowadays.
Well, you know, especially, you know, with a song yet to be sung, there's a lot of drum and bass.
Yeah, you like drum and bass?
I played drums for a little. I could call myself a recreational drummer, so I'm waiting for like someone to do like an organic rock show with drum and bass. Like, take Mountain Song.
I'm working on it.
We get Mountain Song with drum and bass.
I'll try it. I'll write it down. I'm serious. I'm just doing now a new version of Stop.
Mm-hmm.
Mariachi.
Really?
Yeah. So I had a mariachi orchestra come in, record with the Kind Heaven Orchestra, and I'm almost finished with it. Gosh, I'd love to give it to you, know, let you listen to it. But basically, it's like boom, 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 you say the complaint, boom, for party.
That was a preview right there. That was the a cappella mariachi version.
Yeah. But it was like, you'll say the complaint. Like, that's how I'm singing it. It's really cool. I dig it.
So outside of music, what passions do you have? What makes you happy? What brings you joy in your life?
Well, you know, as you know, I like to study mysticism. I like reading and I like studying mysticism specifically. Yes. And also gardening. I like the idea of homesteading, having like a garden, rooftop gardening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grow nice marijuana plant around here.
There you go.
I also love mountain biking, but I just purchased these mountain bikes that are electric.
Really?
You can power up the hills. Went on a nice bike ride yesterday with Etty. We both have mountain bikes, but electric. So it was super windy and coming back. One way was tailwinds, and she's going like, oh, I get it now. The pilots, when they talk about the tailwinds, it was so easy coming
coming
down here. We went down to Venice, rode our bikes to Venice, and then back. And she's like, oh, man, it's like I've got a parachute on. I said, zip your jacket up. Because she had her jacket open, and she was going like, oh, this is really hard. It was so windy here. You can see caps coming down.
Oh.
There's a north cold front that was coming down here, but on the coast, I can tell exactly where the weather originates because we live right by the ocean. Also, I enjoy snowboarding, surfing. We're going snowboarding this weekend. Well, she skis. I was going to ski. I went and actually took a dry ski lesson. It was on one of those conveyor belts. But I've been snowboarding for so many years since they invented snowboards. I'm going to stick with snowboarding, but I don't see any 62-year-old dude snowboarding when I'm up there. So I'm wondering, what's the deal? Am I
Arrested Development, you mean?
Going the wrong direction.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think about that sometimes. I think it's a question of what shape you're in and how careful you are. I always remember the Sonny Bono skiing accident, you know, and he wasn't.
Is that how he died?
It was. I think it was on the slopes, actually.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you he was kind of drunk or chasing a football.
Or chasing a football.
Yeah, because one of the Kennedys, one time I was on a trip, one of the Kennedys died on the mountain that day. And what I heard is, like, you know, they would have races or throw a ball to each other. And I think that's what happened. They're good skiers, but they're just they got out of control. But you're right. So I love getting air as a snowboarder. So
you like that rush.
I like that rush and I'm good at it. So I was going to try skiing, but I only have 4 days. I don't want to sit there and be bad on skis. I want to catch some air because this is probably the only time this year I'll get to go. It's all spring.
Since you are a 62-year-old mountain biker and snowboarder, what are your tips for people who are your age who haven't been doing that stuff and haven't been as active as you? Like, how would you recommend they approach stuff like that?
Start stretching. Start stretching and start doing cardiovascular bike riding. Mm-hmm. And then doing calisthenics, which is your own weight, push-ups, sit-ups. Yeah, if I'm not riding my bike, doing calisthenics, I do Pilates. I've got a great Pilates machine that really belonged to Etty. So Etty is a professional ballerina, or was.
Yeah.
Now she's in the Kind Heaven Orchestra. But she was always into Pilates since I've known her. 1997 was when we met. She was real smart to hook me up. She would always leave her Pilates machine in my house and then she'd go away.
Oh, interesting.
But there was always something there in the harbor. I would call her up. Etty, do you want your Pilates machine back? Oh yeah. I'll come and get it. You know, and then we hook up.
That was the bait.
Yeah.
It gets you into it. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's like, I think somebody put up a meme recently about the idea of encouragement. And I thought it was interesting how they're talking about, like, you know, if you have a kid that say doesn't like to come out, isn't very social, instead of when they finally do come out going, well, finally you came out, you know, just being like encouraging them to come out,
right?
You know, and just be social with people. And it feels like we live in such a fast paced world now that people are trying to cut to the chase a little too quickly. It's like my girlfriend got a cat last year, which has helped keep her sane through the pandemic, other than me, because we live separately. And you know, with cats, you just have to let them come to you.
Oh yeah.
Like I get huggy sometimes. The cat's like, ugh. But then the cat will surprise you the other day and let her sit in her lap for 5 minutes. That had never happened before.
Yeah.
And it's the patience to get there, to build up to those moments in life.
We have to learn patience in this era, because we screwed the planet up. We screwed the planet up 10 to 20 years. We went past.
Yeah.
With capitalism and industrialization, we went past a good 10 to 20 years that our generation, your generation, we're going to have to clean up this mess. We really do. So
yeah,
it's not going to happen overnight, but we better get started, get radical, get revolutionary, but also get ready to be patient.
I was thinking about age too, because like, did you see that video of Tony Basil? Was doing all these great dance. She's just like in her 70s. You're like, holy.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel lazy now. I'm so much younger. And I think Dick Van Dyke was asked in his secret to getting older and being healthy and active. He's like, stretch every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's a simple thing. And I've noticed during the pandemic, when I'm not doing that, my body feels, you're like, oh, you feel like slug.
Oh, man, you have time now. You might never have this much time on your hands. So learn how to stretch, learn how to be patient. That's one thing that you can do, that you can, the time that we have is a benefit.
So now, how much has gardening taught you about patience and about the environment?
Oh yeah, no, I've got this, I was really happy, fortunate, I found this app that you take a picture of the plant,
uh-huh,
and then it will tell you how to care for it.
Really?
Cool. Yeah.
Gardening for Dummies, like you cannot go wrong if you do this.
Yeah, but it's, no, but you could look at it like gardening for early adapters, because
that's a good one.
I don't know anybody who actually gardened using technology, but here's a case where technology will really benefit it. You know what I want to talk about? Last night, I was listening to a bunch of songs that were created by artificial intelligence. Artificial really? Intelligence is going to be the biggest conversation in the next, it's coming up, man, because it's taking over a lot of jobs. Mm-hmm. It's also, you know, Ray Kurzweil? Have you ever read Ray Kurzweil or know about
his? Yeah, the keyboard pioneer, yeah.
Yeah, his ideas for...
I had some friends who worked for that company a while ago, back in the 90s.
Wow. His ideas, concept is called singularity. He believes that eventually machines will take over and do everything for man. And you hear that and you go, oh, I hope not.
That's freaky.
But they're already driving our cars. Like these guys that long haulers that drive, let's say, oranges across the country.
Yeah, yeah.
They're being replaced by robotic cars, artificial intelligence, and they're starting to write music. So they're feeding, they're using Google supercomputers and they're feeding Frank Sinatra into it, Elvis into it, the Beatles into it. Like there's a whole long list of artists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're asking the supercomputer, you write a song now using everything, all the information you heard. So you hear the Frank Sinatra song will go, hey, baby, and a Christmas tree. And it's like, it spazzes out. It's trying to recreate what it just heard. And it's hilarious, but startling and a little scary to know. My engineer pal, Dustin, was showing me all this and also telling me that what's amazing about artificial intelligence is what you do is you essentially feed the computer and then you ask the computer to research, learn, and then start to give you a faster way, an easier way to do it, a more perfect way to do it. And eventually he says that, oh yeah. And they're doing it and it's happening faster and faster that they perfect anything a human being can do.
But it's not the human being though.
Now, this is what I said. My remark back was, they're never going to replace a human being because the word imperfect or perfect, I put that right up. The heading is human beings are not perfect and it's groovy. It's awesome because we like to hear these little imperfections like Joy Division,
yeah,
Bob Dylan, Lou Reed, Iggy. They were not perfect singers. Why are we drawn to them? Because the imperfections are also unique, make people unique. And if we were born perfect, the system of life would not work. As an example,
yeah.
If you were born perfect, then you'd have nothing to strive for. Hence, when you got better at something, you wouldn't find the joy in getting better at it.
Yeah.
So really what we're talking about is the human spirit is this wild, it's intelligent, it is awake and aware, but it is refining. It is like what they're doing to computers. And I personally prefer to listen to a man or a woman sing than a computer. Like I don't dig those rappers.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they twist everything and it's just all a machine.
Auto-tune, yeah, yeah.
I want to hear a sadness of a human being or the story or how it affected that person to make that song and sing about it. I prefer to hear if it's so be it. So it's a little flat. So the guy's fucked up on dope or he's drunk and he's singing about something.
Yeah.
I hear that too. And I'm like, ooh, that's interesting. He sounds like it really hurt him or, you know, he was really affected by it.
You know, you talk about being interested in mysticism.
Uh-huh.
That's been at least a couple decades now. right? I mean,
yeah.
When did it first happen for you? And then how can you relate? We're just talking about artificial intelligence and humanity. How can you relate what you've learned through that, the Kabbalah and all these other studies? How does that relate to all of this?
I began to be interested in mysticism and magic in SciComm. I was hanging out with the underground of Los Angeles, and some of these guys went real deep. You know, we loved knowing about people like Jacopetti and sadomasochism. Like, we were just interested in trippy, dark, avant-garde, out there shit, you know? That included, I hate to say it, but black magic. And white magic, you know, I was just interested in, I read comparative religion. I read, you know, the Bhagavad Gita. I read the Book of Mormon. I read the New Testament, you know, let's go. I wanted to know about everybody's religion. And that included, so I got interested in magic. And then I found that a lot of magic derived from like King Solomon's clavicles and Rosicrucians, a lot of the magic comes out of mystical Judaism. So when I saw that, I was like, whoa. And that led me to studying mysticism and Kabbalah from there. And it's powerful.
How's Kabbalah different? Because we've heard about it. I know that you were into it. Madonna, I think, was sort of into it at a certain point.
Yeah.
What do people, what stereotypes do you think people have of that? And what do you find to be really true about it? The thing that's inspired you?
Well, I think that the whole world now, from, you know, what the mystics say, that now the whole world should or could learn about it. And we should teach it if we can, talk about it some, because you knowing the principles of it, what it will do to you is it will open your eyes to the fact that God, angels, angelology, demonology, there's forces. There's eyes that see and there's ears that hear. Just start there.
You start there?
Yeah.
Have you found any sort of through line with all the religions that you studied? Is there something, any basic principle or principles that you found?
So as an example, I studied about the angel Gabriel. I studied all the angels, but then specifically Gabriel. And I come to find that Gabriel, who was in there with Raphael, Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, there's one more, that are the hierarchy of angels, four of them. Although he went and spoke to the Jewish people, warned them, he gave prophecies to them about, yeah, the temple would be destroyed, but he was there also to help them, but also to warn them. And then later, many years later, he returned and gave Muhammad the first, I think it's 9 chapters of the Quran. That's called the Klot.
Okay.
The Klot was, he took direct dictation, Muhammad did. He took direct dictation from the angel Gabriel, Gavriel. So you know that, it opens up your thinking to like, well, what was this angel's purpose? And why would he talk to Muhammad and talk to Solomon or Isaiah?
Yeah.
What's going on there? That's something that has kept me on a journey, a quest to try to understand more about what's happening in the realms of angels and above and below.
I was watching a video with my mom last night on YouTube about Toledo, Spain, which we'd been to, you know, and it's like a city where you had
Toledo. Oh, that's most
Judaism, Christianity, and yes. Islam. All of them were mixed together, and like a temple was built on top of a mosque and on top of a cathedral.
Yeah. And they all got along, and that's where, you know, music thrived, mathematics, science, you know, engineering, architecture is what I wanted to say. Everybody was thriving and sharing in Toledo around the 14th century.
Yes.
Right?
It's interesting. You know, we've had those moments. That was a moment of something we could learn from, I think, today. I feel like we need to have that kind of a dialogue.
Yeah, renaissance about sharing our ideas, sharing our history. It's time now to do it. Let's Get Radical. And like, this is my story. Toledo, yeah, man.
I got to go back. My mom loved it, and I need to get back.
Oh, your mom was hanging out there?
I took my mom to Spain like 5.5 years ago. So she grew up in Cuba, but she has some Spanish ancestry. And she's I'm half quarter Syrian.
Wow.
I'm Syrian, Spanish, French on her side, and she grew up in Cuba.
Wow.
Yeah.
What an interesting combination.
Anything be coming in the garden? Anything we should look forward to? Post any Instagram photos of your garden? Will we see anything coming up?
Not yet. Yeah. I have a very small garden, but I'm getting a pickup truck.
That's interesting.
So because my sports car, I had this beautiful hybrid sports car that got totaled. So now I'm giving it back, but I'm going to just get a flatbed and start going to, you know, the pottery stores and the gardening nurseries. It's all underway, but it's newly underway. It's not yet ready to show the public.
Environmentally friendly pickup truck. Is that, do they have those yet?
That's a good point.
I've been wondering.
Might not. If they don't, I'm not going to get a gas guzzler. I'm just not going to do it.
Excellent. Well, yeah. I'll get
the closest thing to a flatbed. It might be. I know of hybrids that are like just bigger cars, but my sports car, it was a four-door because we're a family, but
yeah.
People had no business being behind me when I was driving.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thank you for chatting. I really appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah. Nice chat, Brian.
I have to dig deeper. I mean, there's so much music and some stuff that I knew. And then it's like, being a closet goth, I naturally was like, you know, because I got there later.
Next time we speak, I want you to, do you have one item of clothing or something that you could put on that tells me that you were in fact a goth?
Good question, because I never dressed up. Well, you know what? I did go to a lot of shows. I'll find something. Actually, I have a photo of myself with blue nails.
Okay, that'll
my friend be. Did.
All right, Brian.
Have fun.
Speak again. Nice to meet you.
Catch you later. Thank you.
That wraps up this latest Side Jams. Please join me next time when I'll be speaking with John Medeski collaborator, Jeff Firewalker Schmidt. The tunes used in this episode are from Fox and the Law, and I licensed them through AudioSocket. Thanks very much for listening.